Hey, welcome to the forecast. Today we've got Zach Brooks, who's back for his second appearance on the show. He's going to tell us more about, this is part two of our discussion with Zach about what makes a great podcast. And he might have some interesting things to say about us, Brian.
Yeah, and if you've got any feedback for us, please reach out at foresightstudios.com/feedback.
And of course, as always, this is brought to you by charityengine.net.
If your CRM is driving you to drink, give Charity Engine a call.
And here's Zach. Are you ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
Are you comfortable? Your beer's good?
I'm good. Man spreading. Gotta pull up my notes.
So we have Zach back in the house. He was on the first podcast.
And welcome
so
back.
Every 10 podcasts, we're going to bring him in to see how we do. Incremental improvement, hopefully.
Apparently every 11, because you posted a podcast today.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, sorry.
I had caught up on all of them, and then I sat down, and Brian told me
well,
that he
your
posted
first,
one.
Your first podcast doesn't count, so it's 10 podcasts since.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
There we go.
10 in between,
yeah.
I guess.
Every 10th podcast. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So overall, what are we trying to find out today, Brian? How we're doing, what we can do to get better?
I think we need a vanity letter. Like, get that out there to start with. F plus to A plus, where do we sit?
Oh, man. I think you guys are doing really well. I'm actually really enjoying it. I think probably like C plus. But I don't think
that's
bad. I don't think
that
C plus
stings
is
a little bit. That stings,
I think C plus is bad, though. That's like right in the middle.
Grading on a curve or not?
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm thinking like comparing average. You guys with some of the really good podcasts I listen to.
And these are not podcasts like Fly By Night, like, oh, they published two podcasts and now they're gone. Like, this is like people who are in it and committed and doing it, and they actually have people listening to them.
So this isn't you're not giving like Minecraft vloggers like a B plus, right?
No. Right. I mean,
we're above Minecraft vloggers.
On iTunes, you rate on a 5-star scale.
All right.
And I'd probably give you guys 3 to 4, somewhere between 3 and 4.
A solid 3 to 4.
Okay, yeah. I'm happy with that.
I can live with that.
I mean, overall, like I've kind of binge listened over the last week or so. I was through 3 or 4 podcasts, and then when you told me
you were done with House of Cards, yeah. So you binged.
I'm trying to sell this podcast to Netflix and get him in the podcasting biz. But I think they're really good, and I can actually got some notes on the individual podcasts, some
wow.
of them. There's just so much. They're so information dense.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. And by the way, this is not just about me and Brian. This is we're trying to give some information here to people who are thinking about having their own podcast. So
yep.
this is going to be advice that hopefully you can generalize outside of us, and hopefully it won't be too mean.
Yeah. No, I mean, overall, I'm going to have mostly positive things to say. But like, I just feel like I learn a lot. I think my favorite episode was the Charity Engine episode.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that one, I came away just really kind of understanding. I'd never heard of Charity Engine before, so really understanding what they did and the story behind them. I thought the personal stories, who was the guy, what was the name of the one guy? So clearly I don't remember his name, but not Hussein, the other guy.
Sean Romani?
Yeah. Did I get the other guy's name right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Sean was telling the story about how when he started, he was working like 18-hour days and just like coding all that. I thought that was really interesting. So that kind of like the personal story is the one where you get the information, but you get some story to go with it. That was the stuff that I really
You know, liked. I got to say, I always enjoy the ones where we get into personal stuff. And I'm always torn because you want to have like a discussion about, you know, some sort of topic of interest that, you know, professionally people could employ in their lives. But like the conversation that is like I listen to and I'm like, oh, I'm listening to a conversation and I actually want to hear what's happening next is like the personal stuff. And we had our second guest, Kidron. She actually, for various reasons beyond her control, was prevented from allowing us to... She basically signed a non-disclosure agreement with her previous employer who laid her off.
She doesn't want it. I was talking to her last week. She wants back on. So
yeah, but anyway, she had like a really compelling, fun backstory, and that was probably my favorite moment, which is now unpublished, which was talking about her like growing up in Texas and working on a dude ranch.
Can you post just that? Can you edit just the story?
I suppose so.
I think it'd be a lot of fun to have her back, though. That was our second. It was our second recording, right? Right after Zach.
Yep.
So we've got a little bit more structure. We should have her back, though, so we don't have to edit it down.
Kidron, call us.
Yeah.
You guys have been doing them every week.
We have been recording once a week. Basically. We're really good about recording. We're not as good about publishing. Like, it's kind of boring to, like, write show notes and to, like, listen to the thing and edit it. And, you know, the recording is the easy, fun stuff. It's all the work that happens before and after.
I'm the one who's been trying to write the show notes, and I'll use the word trying because we record on a Thursday or a Friday. Hemming puts it together over the weekend, and then, you know, Monday or Tuesday gets it back, and I'm going to post it and write up the show notes. And I think my lesson learned has been I'm most excited to write the show notes right after the podcast. So actually maybe writing like a quick few paragraphs right after we're done recording while everything's fresh in my mind, rather than trying to revisit it a week later where it's not, like, I kind of have to jog my memory.
I think the stuff that's really helpful, I read through the show notes of mine, and there was one correction on mine that I'll show you later. It's not a big deal. But, you know, there were links to the different things we talked about. You know, you link to the podcasters that we talked about. And there's so much information versus, you know, a podcast that's reviewing a TV show. There's not anything I want to go back and find. I just want to hear what they have to say. But if I'm listening to podcasts about Charity Engine or about user experience, yeah, I want to take something away from that.
And reference material.
Yeah, I don't want to listen to the podcast again. No offense, but I don't want to listen to the podcast again.
To dig for that link,
Yeah, but it's like, oh, I heard about some tool that was really good on there.
We do have an intern starting tomorrow, so I foresee that for the next month and a half, we're going to have good show notes.
Awesome.
Yeah. I wish there was a better way to integrate show notes with... Like, there used to be a podcast I listened to, and they would actually have, like, the cover art would change as they would talk about different topics, and it was really interactive, and...
Whoa.
It's the only time I've ever seen that on a podcast. It was like 7 or 8 years ago.
I don't even know how you do that. I mean, how often does a feed get updated? I guess enough that it would change several times within the period of an hour.
Actually, we do show specific art. If your podcast reader supports that, each episode might have a different image.
Yeah.
And we've got a podcast image, and then if we snap a photo with the guest, and not only shows up on our website, but it actually, per the ID3 tags, are show specific covers.
So speaking of show notes, while we're in that, can I talk about one critique? No, not my show notes. If I can get my phone to unlock, here we go. So the show notes are really good. They have a lot of detail. I was trying to tell my friend that I was going to be on the Foresight podcast this week, and he was like, "Oh, I'll listen to the last one you were on. Send me the link." So I go to foresight.tv, and I'm hunting around, and I cannot figure out where podcasts are.
Actually,
you didn't just type it in, you know, slash podcast.
It's actually being published to the website.
Yeah, so the podcast is a different format of content than the website has had, and we kind of wanted to get a few under our belt. And so what we're doing now is we're creating their own sections. And so it's going to be right in the main navigation. You click it, you'll have nicely formatted podcast list like you would expect.
Our coming out party is Wednesday. We're going to be recording at the Drupal GovCon all week.
Oh,
so we're using our sponsorship money to set up a table and just corner people and get them to come and sit down and talk to us. I'm looking at our website, and it has not been published yet, but I'm told it's going to be up momentarily.
/ podcast. Yeah.
I figured that out. Also, when I Googled Foresight podcast, it was great. I was the first thing that came up on Google when I searched that. So
we got to put that in reverse chronological order.
Good SEO. I thought that was okay.
Making the experience on the website a little bit more.
Although I am reminded to listen to the Foresight podcast every time anybody from your office emails me, which is multiple times per day.
Oh, they didn't update that.
We post to our website, and I just wanted to mention, we also were posting to SoundCloud for a period, and then I realized SoundCloud charges by the minute, basically. So it's not by the number of tracks you upload, it's by the length of the tracks. And you can only have so much time per account unless you want to start paying. So we we're like, oh, we'll just pay the minimum, which actually turned out not to be very much time at all. So I think we're not going to be posting on
SoundCloud basically is an alternative to iTunes. You can post your stuff there. They have a little player you can embed, and you've got the feed. You can set up your feed in there, and it costs, what was it, like $5 a month to do that?
I was just all about people being able to find this wherever they might be looking, but yeah.
It was like six bucks, but then you're saying we got nailed. With all these download charges.
We just immediately were over even the lowest tiers limit because our podcasts are an hour plus, and we're on. You know, we're recording our 11th podcast. We have over 10 hours.
That's surprising because they have a lot of podcasts on SoundCloud.
Yeah,
I would think they would have like a podcast.
Maybe I'm missing something. We should revisit that, but yeah. It was a bummer. But surprisingly, Stitcher, though, I had posted a few to Stitcher, and that got way more traction than nobody's listening through podcasts. That's not how they're finding it.
Through SoundCloud?
On SoundCloud?
Yeah, SoundCloud.
So what I really like about SoundCloud, though, and it might help with the show notes, is there's, like, time markers where people can put comments in. I've listened to stuff before, and comments will pop up when you hit a certain marker. So it could be the kind of thing where, you know, in your show notes, you post it to SoundCloud, and then you can see... You know, Brian, you go in there and you put a comment that says, we talk about this tool here or this tip here.
Where do you listen? Do you listen on your phone? Do you ever listen on the desktop where you'd be looking at a screen?
Not often. I listen on my iPod a lot. I still have an iPod Nano that I listen on. Occasionally I listen on my phone, too. One of the podcasts I listen to has its own dedicated app, the Rob's a Podcast app.
Is there like a meta publisher where we publish to one thing and it just publishes to all the podcast networks?
I would assume so.
Because that's what I want. I just want to publish one place, publish once, have it show up everywhere.
Yeah, there's got to be something where you just give the RSS feed.
I'm sure you have to pay for it, though.
Okay, that'll be in the show notes.
Yeah.
LibSync, that's another one, I think.
LibSync?
LibSync.
LibSync.
Yeah. I think that's another one where I've seen podcasts posted.
Okay, so we have lessons so far. The website sucks.
Can't find it.
You can Google it, though. I mean, whatever. Everyone's going to Google it.
Our iTunes feed is solid. We got that down.
Info packed. That's good to hear. Would you start with the backstory and the personal stories in the risk of losing people who came there to learn how to do a podcast? Or would you start with the information, or does it matter?
I really like now that you start with the bumper at the beginning. And you have the music, because before they were just on my iPod, and then you would just be talking, and then you would be talking again, and I wouldn't realize that it had actually changed podcast. So now you have the bumper at the beginning.
So if anybody wants to listen to all of them in a row, it's very helpful music.
Yeah. And I like that, and I like that you kind of, similar to like how Nerdist does it, where they just have the two hosts on there setting up what the episode is, you kind of do that now too. You first thank the sponsor. And then you dive into what the show's going to be about. And then you just kind of, it just kind of starts right in the middle of a conversation, which it's an interesting way to do it.
I usually just try to find a joke to start on and then make sure that there's nothing, you know, like someone gets up and goes to the bathroom or something. Because I try to keep the editing to a minimum.
Yeah. I know they have to do the editing.
And so try to get into a point that's interesting and maybe someone makes a little joke and then have it go from there.
I think one thing I would do at the beginning is include how can somebody subscribe, where can they find the podcasts, contact information. Because if somebody's on and then they share it with a bunch of their friends, you want them to ultimately subscribe.
So basically, if someone's only going to listen for 5 minutes, we want to make sure they got it.
Yeah, they know how to
the right takeaways.
More. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we record those intros after the show, so maybe you've already heard that.
Yeah,
and we're starting to figure out the outro too. I think we came up with our outro last time.
Cheers, right? You haven't since it just was published today. So we do a cheers. We ask the host to say a toast.
Oh man!
Which we're also now getting better at preparing people for what might be expected of them.
Like, oh. Yeah, I already had to think about what's my favorite nonprofit.
Well, yeah,
I heard that on one of them, and I was like, all right, I got to think about that.
I had emailed you with kind of a peculiar human situation. That we have found. It wasn't a technical challenge, but more of a challenge that we have guests coming on from, you know, a wide spectrum of backgrounds and professions and specialties. But what I think we've noticed is that there are different personalities that prefer to be
prepared.
There are
two different types of people.
Yeah, there's kind of the what would you say? The A type and everybody else, the B type.
The B types. Yep.
The type that wants it to be highly structured, isn't very comfortable going into their personal background unless they've had time to prepare, kind of almost like a formal rehearsed conversation. And then there's the other folks that they don't even care if they know what they're talking about when they walk in the door to start recording with us. And they're very free-form. They love going into their backstory, all the little side conversations. And I anticipate we're going to keep having those types of people, and how we might adjust our communication while we're reaching out and prepping them for the podcast to kind of make that a more friendly approach. And yeah,
we actually got reprimanded by two guests for not preparing them ahead of time.
Oh, really?
It's always the A types that reprimand. Yeah.
But I would say if you listen to the podcast, I don't think you could tell.
We want people to have a good experience, and is it just on our end, kind of figuring this out and like how can we make this the best experience?
Yeah, at least for me, what I like in a podcast is just that casual conversation. And it's a little different because you guys are talking to people about their profession versus, a lot of times what I listen to is just people talking about hobbies. And so somebody might not want to say something that they don't want to come across and say the wrong thing, especially if it's going to reflect poorly on them professionally. Mm-hmm. And if I was talking more about what I do professionally, I might feel differently than just coming in here and, shooting the breeze about a podcast with
you guys. Right.
So I think there's letting people know it's going to be a free flowing conversation. You're going to have tangents that you go on, and maybe letting them know that they can, if there's a time when something comes up and they're like, oh no, let's go back and cut that part out. Or I didn't mean that. It's probably easier if they let you know at the time, I would imagine, because you can kind of mark, okay, it's 23 minutes into the podcast, so let's cut that part.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what we do. Someone says something and be like, oh, you know what? Can we take that out? Then I'll just mark the time. Yeah.
And so letting them know that that's okay. Maybe it's not preparing them with what you're going to ask question-wise, but preparing them with what are just the kind of rules. Like, feel free if you say something you don't want it in, mm-hmm. let us know. Mm-hmm. It's going to go off on tangents. And
what about in terms of making the guests feel comfortable? What about the beer thing? Is that just too kind of obvious? And
I've had a lot of people that don't drink. Maybe we got a root beer or something in here.
We had one guy who actually doesn't drink.
Who's like, ICB.
Who doesn't drink alcohol. And then most people, I would say, have just one beer. Yeah. The Charity Engine guys had like six or seven.
And then we went out afterwards.
Yeah. Is that their actual slogan, if your CRM is driving you to drink? Or did you guys make that up?
No. They made it up on the spot, actually.
Yeah.
I like that. It was interesting. It was
They're a good group of people. And they're really, the passion comes through in the conversation that we had with them, and kind of their no bullshit approach. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it led to a really great conversation. It's also the only recording we've done with two guests, which I wonder if that also might be providing a different dynamic.
Yeah, it was very bro-centric. It was I don't know how many, I could see men liking that conversation more. And I'm not sure how I could articulate it other than to say that, like, the conversation just seemed like kind of a bunch of guys sitting around chatting.
That's probably why I liked it so much.
Yeah. It also was a bunch of guys sitting around chatting, so.
Yeah, but I think, like, there were a lot of kind of jokes that were, kind of like something you'd say at poker games and not necessarily in mixed company.
I mean, I didn't say anything I regret, so
nothing overt like that, but it just felt a little bit more masculine to me.
It was. Maybe that's the vibe Charity Engine wants to give off.
That they work 20 hours a day and that they're dudes.
dudes for hire. That's their new bot. Charity Engine, dudes for hire.
Yeah, no, I will say I too was actually pretty impressed with those guys. And if I had
they're great. They know, I mean, they're cocky is what it came off with. Like, I
definitely highly recommend it.
They know their shit. They know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. They're not afraid to call bullshit when they see it, especially in kind of the industry that they play. They're selective about their clients. They have a kind of a unique model in the space that allows them to be different than Convio, Salsa. You know, well, we got to get Engaging Networks on here and see what they're.
Oh, and did we mention their sponsor?
Oh yeah.
So what's next on the list there, Zach?
Well, I was just actually just going off that. I know we've talked a lot about the Charity Engine episode, but you know, that's not to discount the rest of the episodes. I think they've all really brought something. They've all been very different. I started off listening to the one I was on, which is painful to listen to yourself. I don't know if you found that, Brian, but yeah,
I can't make it through voicemails.
What was your favorite?
Man, I had a lot of fun recording the Charity Engine podcast, but I have to say the one we published today that you didn't get to listen to, so I don't know if it's a cop-out. I had a lot of fun just nerding out with Colleen Hutchins over at CCAH, formerly of Environmental Working Group. Like that, I mean, that's just a soft spot for me, like where the rubber meets the road in actual, you know, organizing, the mechanics of putting together a campaign, running it. How do you measure success? How do you get over failures? How do you, you know, handle the interpersonal differences that are going to come up in a small office or working with other organizations or programs? And we got into all of it, and it was a lot of fun, and it wasn't dry. And so that was my favorite podcast so far.
I really liked the digital transformation one too.
Yeah.
And that was one when it started, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to really be into this. And then it was just really interesting to hear about the perspective of her as a consultant going in and working with people and having her ideas. You know, she'll give an idea and they don't take it, and, mm-hmm. and some of the challenges that she has to work with.
You know, I made a mental note to go back and edit that, because right at the beginning, there's like a really awkward pause where like suddenly the conversation just died. And I said something like, I sort of stumbled, and it was like, well, what do we talk about? Like, there was sort of a reset that happened, and I felt like that really just took you right out of that podcast.
Yeah, wonder if that was it.
If you go back and get rid of that, if it would change how you experience that.
Well, I also felt like our conversation picked up as we were going with Anne. We could have, you know, gone another hour, but just the, you know, kind of warming up. We try to do that before the shows, you know, talk with the guests, get some conversational flow going. And we had a good one, but I felt like the actual pace of the conversation picked up about halfway through.
Mm. Yeah. And that one had a little bit of background noise. I don't know if it seemed like you must have recorded that out there.
There was a meeting going on in this room, so we were actually out there. It was in the middle of the day, so everybody was in the office.
There's fire truck.
There's the fire truck. We have to do something.
As we're talking about background noise.
That should be a drinking game, I think. Every time there's a fire.
Wait. I wonder what Hemming's favorite episode was. Oh, yeah. Cheers. So, Hemming, what's your favorite episode so far?
The Bill Strum.
Bill Strum?
Yeah.
Recording, listening, both?
Both. I think he's just fucking hilarious.
Was that the SEO one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. That was one I remember. I was folding my laundry while I was listening to it. And I was like hanging up shirts.
I wish you could have seen the paper shuffling. Like Bill, I hope it comes across on, you know, on the recording. It's like Bill is disorganized but organized all in the same breath. Like it's absolutely exciting to talk with.
He's a mad genius.
Yeah,
mad genius.
I could definitely like got that from that podcast. I thought that was, and that was what I don't know much about SEO. I feel like I came away from that one with a lot of real world good useful tips.
Yeah.
And you know that's I think that's the goal really is to introduce people to stuff they don't know about, to topics they don't know about, and help them do that a little bit easier.
Well, if you didn't have the personal connection to us, and if we didn't make you listen to all of them.
You didn't make me. I chose to. You told me I didn't have to.
Would you keep listening? Like,
yeah. No, I think, and it's good. You know, I think one per week, it's not too much. I'm not overloaded, and they've all been different. I think, you know, you said you're going to be doing some live ones at DrupalCon this week. I think those will be really. I did a live podcast like that once during March Madness. I took the little, what is that, the H2 recorder, mm-hmm. out with me to a bar during March Madness and just interviewed people just about what was going on March Madness, what they thought, and ended up being like five or six interviews that I cut together. And you get very raw reactions from people, and they're fun because they're short. They're, you know, 5 minutes, ten minutes.
Well, there you're in a situation where people are pumped up, you know, they're amped up about the game, and they've been drinking. We're going to be at a government conference in the bowels of a large building, and
1,200 people, though. Some of them are going to be pumped up.
No, it'll be good.
I think people are usually pretty pumped up at conferences. When I go, at least. The ones I go to.
Yeah, or the organization sends the introvert who had nothing to do.
Yeah.
And they just kind of mope around the conference. You could. Oh, the thing is, we're going to go actively, you know, seek people and invite them over to the table.
You just have a sign that says "Want to be on a podcast." People will come.
Well, I mean, if I sit in on a good session, I'm going to immediately go up to that person and say, "Hey, you know,
let's give us 5-10 minutes,
and then we'll pitch your organization, the session, whatever."
Yeah. So are we going to do shorter shows? I guess we probably have to
for DrupalCon.
We can't
do
a long. We probably 20 minutes.
I think DrupalCon is all about volume. Like, let's get 5-10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I think you can really hammer it to the point, and then if it's somebody who's really good, hey, come on for a longer episode.
Yep.
And schedule for a longer episode. You need a really easy way for them to be able to find the podcast.
Do you package 3 20-minute episodes together for an hour release once a week?
Yeah,
why not? We could also do like 3 questions we're asking, and they could come up and answer one, and then we package them. You know, all the people that answered question A or question B or something like that.
I think it'd be cool if you know, you're going to record that bumper at the beginning anyway, so just come on in the beginning and say, you know, some types of people that you're going to hear on this podcast, and maybe put, either do all of them together or do, you know, 3 of them and make it about an hour.
Okay. So what's next on the list?
Oh, man. Now I got to unlock my phone.
You said
again. Background.
I think you were going to say background noise.
Yeah, so background noise, I feel like that was something I noticed. I mean, Lucky always makes a surprise appearance on the podcast.
Does it make you jump?
Usually it's not bad, but there was one podcast. I don't know which one it was.
Had to be Riche where we recorded outside.
It was not Riche. Riche's, no. I can tell you guys were outside, but I didn't think the audio quality was that bad.
We had airplanes flying over.
Yeah. I don't know that there's much we can do about the audio. I mean, we could get a better mixer. There's a bit of a buzz.
Yeah, there's a hiss.
That up. The background noise, I mean, unless short of renting a studio.
I think this, though, is going to help a lot, don't you?
It'll help. Yeah, it'll help a little bit.
Can we put the big,
if we put some soundproofing up on the walls and then told the fire engine guys not to respond to any emergencies.
What if you just close these doors and close the curtains?
That helps a little bit.
Yeah, it gets about 150 degrees in here.
It's hot in here.
It's still not. I mean, those sirens, I mean, they come in everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, the sirens, that happens. There's somebody who guest hosts on a podcast I listen to, and she lives in downtown New York, or downtown Manhattan, and, like, that happens, too. So
Does it take you out of it? Like, do you think?
No, I mean, I noticed it because you guys bring it up, and I think it's probably almost better that you just kind of get ahead of it. You're like, oh, there's the siren again. Drink.
I want consistent levels, so somebody isn't like, oh, they're quiet, and then they crank it up, and then all of a sudden we get really
loud. I think
loud.
Then making a drinking game actually is good because it serves the purpose of like alerting the listener that like, mm-hmm. oh, here's some background noise that we're gonna acknowledge and let you know what it is. Then you mm-hmm. know, there's not a fire outside your house.
Right. I think it's more stuff that you can control, like. Somebody, the one when you guys were out in the main office, like somebody was opening the microwave or, you know, there were a couple of things. And it was kind of fun for me to try to be like, oh, I wonder who that is and I wonder what they're doing. But
everything. I think everything that could happen in this office happened during that.
None of that would take me to the level where I would say, oh, I'm going to turn this podcast off. I'm done. I think, it's little things. You asked me to critique
amateur
little
hour.
Things. Yeah, but you're 10 podcasts in.
Yeah.
You're not 100 podcasts in yet. Like, that kind of stuff will...
We'll record in the jet on the 100th episode.
Yeah.
That'll be a little louder.
If we get to 100, we're... Holy cow.
A couple years.
I mean, at this pace, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Well, it depends how many we do at DrupalCon. Could be at 100 by next week.
Oh, you can't count those all as separate podcasts.
I'm going to number them. Watch me.
Brian, you had a quote in the Ann Yoder episode that I really liked, so I wrote it down. So I actually wrote down one of your quotes.
I'm going to have to get a copy.
Yeah, you said, are your consultants consultants, or are you outsourcing mental labor? Which I thought was, like, really, I'd never really thought about that, but I thought that was super interesting. So,
yeah.
Are they consultants or mental labor?
Do you remember saying that?
I do. I mean, it's there's also the flip side with interns. It's very similar. Like, what are the purpose of these people? Like, are you actually engaging with them, or are you just using them as gophers? Like, get this job done for me because I can't do it. Mm-hmm. Or are you treating them like people that actually bring something to the table? Are you hiring consultants because of their expertise, or because you just can't handle your shit right now? Like, which one is it? Mm-hmm. Like, do you have too much on your plate and you need somebody to help, you know, organize or take some of
the internship experience.
No, I have friends in this space on both sides, and It's just not a good relationship to be outsourced for basically crap work when you're under the impression you're being brought in for your expertise. Nobody appreciates that. But, you know, sometimes you got to take the job because it's good pay. And so when you go to work with a consultant, or you bring in an intern, or you bringing them in to help grow your organization and provide the value that they do and the insight that they offer as a human being and as a worker and as somebody who has some type of experience or potential for growth in this space, or are you just overwhelmed and looking for somebody to throw shit on their plate?
That you can pay.
Yeah, because you can't, you know, if you ever said, oh, I can't clone myself, like, then really you don't want somebody to do, you're going to be very combative because everything is going to be very personal. And it's always like, well, that's not how I would do it. Mm-hmm. If you really are just trying to offload your mental labor. So when I think of it like that, it's like, what's that relationship there? You know, do you value their expertise, or, you know, are they a commodity that you would interchange with anybody?
Yeah. And okay. I thought that tied in really well with what Ann Yoder was saying in her podcast, because mm-hmm. that was a lot of the experiences she would talk about is tough experiences and challenges. And I think the challenges, you know, I think that's kind of a consistent theme that I've seen is that that's the part where I really tune in, is when somebody talks about the stuff that's tough, that's been hard for them.
That's a good point.
I wonder if those are the show notes, like the challenges we address. I'm trying to think about, like, I need to get better at recording the show notes, but it's also like we cover so much. I'm trying to figure out, like, I don't want to write, like, you know, the next thesis paper on there. Like, I want to distill it down to like a couple bullets.
I think you really, unless you're taking notes when you're doing it, and I know having you've written a couple things down as we've been talking, but unless you're taking
nothing
notes,
you've said, only the stuff he's been saying.
That's smart. That's a good idea.
Only the positive.
I think that you just have to listen to it. You got to block off an hour when you can listen to it and really not be doing anything else, so that you can listen to it and take bulleted notes on what you guys talk about.
You know, I've been doing one thing, and I'm starting to question whether it's the right way to write the notes. I've been leaving a lot of open-ended questions, like teasing to listen to the podcast, which I think is good, but I also feel like I should throw some tidbits in there mm-hmm. that might just be takeaways. Like, maybe you don't have time to listen now. Also, how that might be actually indexed by a search engine. But I've been trying to, like, tease. I use the show notes as, like, here are some bits of what's happening, and I'm teasing why you should invest an hour of your life to listen about SEO strategy, why you should listen about Charity Engine.
And this goes back to the SEO, is it beneficial to be having all of these links out to other websites and articles and things, or does it not
only
matter?
If we can get them back.
Yeah.
They have to.
That's something we should add to our follow-up is when we publish, you know, if you have any type of personal blog or company blog, like getting links back in, that actually would be really good. Because mm-hmm. we're bringing in basically thought leaders in the space. Like, they probably mm-hmm. have some credibility from a search engine's perspective. So,
yeah, how much are you seeing a lot that your guests are sharing out the podcast when they're on it? I mean, I know I did. But
we haven't been really good about, you know, we're trying to be consistent about, you know, here's the package we're going to send out. We're going to include links. We're going to have show notes. You know, it's going to be a Monday. Here's, like, what you can send to your friends. Cool. And I would say we're just kind of inconsistent about doing that.
Well, a big part of it is, as we're building out the podcast section, is the individual podcasts themselves aren't necessarily the best formatted right now. So you might have seen some of the show titles were huge, ginormous. Mm-hmm. So I think once that looks well and we can get that process down, you know, it makes more sense to be able to put that and share that with their networks. Mm-hmm.
But I think the sort of the key behind what you're saying is that, like, you know, it takes a lot of personally invested time. Like, you know, a podcast is a relationship with your viewers, and, you know, we're recording this, and this is the easy part. But the hard part, or the more valuable part, is necessarily the follow-up and the interaction and the tweets and the emails and the carrying on the conversation beyond the podcast, which we don't really do.
Yeah.
You know, we're sort of like, oh, we'll record it, and then hopefully the rest will kind of get done, and then this will get traction. But I think to build the audience beyond you know, just sort of hobby level is going to require real commitment. And, you know, you can't really outsource that. It's like we are the ones interacting, and so we're the ones who have to have that relationship.
Yeah, and then that's really what I found when I hosted my own podcast, is it was just so much addition. You know, it's fun to talk about something for an hour and record it. but then you know, you want somebody to listen to it. You want to, I mean, you want comments back. You want emails or tweets or something back from people who listen. You want to hear, oh, I thought this strategy was wrong. I thought this was really brilliant. You know, you want to hear that stuff. And if you don't get that feedback, it's just, it loses, it can lose the luster, and then it just becomes a chore. It's like, oh, what's the point? So, you know, that's the part that, as much as you can kind of automate that and have a system for it, you know, have a template email that you send to people before they're on and after, and you just kind of fill out the information.
Yeah. Brian's actually been pretty good about putting together those kinds of things. We got some language that we use. We've got the sort of the step-by-step for publishing and adding the tags and mm-hmm. and all that stuff.
Do you have comments? Do you allow comments on the pages?
So I'm thinking we'll probably maybe add, I don't know how many I should talk about this, but maybe add, I like Facebook comments simply because if you're logged into Facebook, you are already able to comment. But also it'll show up now. Facebook does a thing where if you comment on the website, it'll actually show up on the equivalent page on Facebook.
So oh,
it's
really?
Automatic. Yeah. It's phenomenal. We might be able to do that, but rather than having comments spread across different systems. But right now, like I said, we're kind of redoing it. So there's.
Do we need a separate Facebook page, or should we use the Foresight Studios?
I think we absolutely use Foresight Studios.
And a separate Twitter account or the Foresight Studios?
Foresight account.
Foresight account. I mean, if we're producing great content, we want our name associated with it.
What if we're producing average content? Like
C-plus content. I think it really depends who you ask. You know,
who knows? In 10 more episodes, you guys might be up to an A-. All right.
You know what, though? You could have 5 C-plus episodes, a couple Fs, but you got 3 A-pluses in there. That's still a C-plus, yeah. But you got A-plus episodes.
I still listened. I have... You know, remember? I don't know if you guys remember the last podcast. I talked about like I have over 100 podcasts that I've downloaded that at some point I want to listen to, and I chose to listen to 6 Foresight podcasts over the last 2 weeks, and I could have not done that and just came in here kind of blind. So this has something like either I'm crazy.
The quality is getting better though. I think each one, like if you plotted it out, like our quality is we're continuing to learn.
Would you be more apt to listen if we had? You know, Barack Obama on the podcast versus, you know, some mid-level manager at a nonprofit.
Can you compare those two?
When you were choosing which ones to listen to
Gandhi
first,
or Rachel from the coffee shop
was it the person or the topic that drew you in?
It's the topic more than the person. And something that, you know, is it something that I could actually take something from? The Roche episode, for example, like... Learning a little bit about user experience and design, that was something that I knew would be helpful for me in the work that I do. The SEO, somewhat. Charity Engine was learning about a tool I didn't know about. Civi CRM was actually a tool I had just learned about right before I listened to the podcast.
Because we sort of feature the name. Should we bury the name a little bit and make the title more about the topic and expand that a little bit?
I think the name makes it easier to... promote, because with the name then you tag that person, you get them to promote it, you get them to tweet it out or share it on their website. If you're burying the name, then they might be less likely to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the topic is just as important. I think once you start the podcast, you can talk in your opening about what the topic is going to be, what you're going to talk about, then you get into the person as they're talking. And going back to your question, I mean, I would listen to both if you had Barack Obama or a mid-level manager. I would relate more to the mid-level manager because that's more like me than the president. But I don't know how representative I am of the rest of your audience.
A lot of potential presidents in our audience.
Yeah, you never know.
Well, I mean, I don't know who we could reasonably get, but let's say we got like someone on the city council or someone who had some name recognition within our small world. You know, is that a better sell, or do we go with someone who we know is going to be good and have a lot of information?
I say good with a lot of information. I mean, they may attract another audience, but is that our target audience? I don't know.
Is it like a loss leader, like where you have, you know, they say like Best Buy sells, you know, $100 TV to get people in the door? Is having one of those big names who might not have that much information, but would provide an interesting perspective and would help bring in an audience,
So you do a 10-minute phone call with someone who's important and then follow up with an in-depth conversation on the same topic with someone else.
I say we do horrible podcasts, but just market the living daylights out of it. It's all marketing.
I mean, I'm joking. Everything that you have, though, is so keyword heavy. All of these podcasts are so keyword heavy. And like, if I learned anything in the SEO podcast, like there's good SEO behind each of these podcasts, and there's lots of marketing that you
can do. And we've just been really, I think, really lucky to actually have people that are kind of all occupying in the same space and territory, and happening to get people that really didn't have that much overlap. Like, we haven't really had trouble running into a podcast where, like, oh man, this was the exact same podcast we did three shows.
You know what's kind of surprising to me is people, pretty much everybody we've asked has come on, and we've asked probably half the people we don't know.
I got one no.
But no one has ever said, like, oh, how many people listen, or they've never made any kind of evaluation about whether or not this is a particularly, you know.
Well, they haven't said that to Hemming. They have said that to me.
Oh, they have?
Usually, yeah. They're like, how many people listen? Oh, don't worry about that.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I was going to say, because people just seem flattered to be asked.
Yeah.
They don't really, we haven't had anybody who's kind of
it's almost all people we know, though, right? We haven't really invited somebody that's super narcissistic.
I mean, we haven't invited anybody who's like outside our circles.
Yeah.
But we haven't like cold called anybody.
Nobody has told me no because we didn't have enough listeners. The only reason across the board that people have asked is they're worried that like they might say something and it might get them in trouble. Mm-hmm. Like there's an anxiety. But I feel like if anybody listens to 5 minutes of our podcast, they hear it's a very casual conversation. And I don't think I haven't had anybody email me after the podcast, like saying like, could you not publish that? Or could you remove this section? There's only been things like right in the moment. We're like, well, that doesn't make sense. Let's cut that. Or that's about a specific client. I probably shouldn't include that. Let's remove that.
Two things that might be really interesting. One is I know some podcasts have as their episode zero, like a 5-minute episode. That's just the two hosts teasing what the podcast is and talking about what kind of topics are going to talk about, what to expect. So if you had that teaser, then when you invite somebody on, you can say, hey, here's 5 minutes to get a sense of what our show is about. And maybe on top of that, then you pick a really good segment, you know, a good 5-minute clip from one of your episodes. And you can say, this is one of them in action. Listen to this 5 minutes.
I love it. Podcast sizzle room.
Yeah. do you ever listen to How Did This Get Made? Do either of you guys listen to that podcast?
Yeah.
So that one is all, they take terrible movies and they do an hour long podcast just talking about the terrible movies. So they've done like 100 episodes, and it's hosted by a couple comedians, two of the guys who were on The League. But what they do is it's every 2 weeks. So in the weeks in between, they do a mini episode where they preview what the next episode is going to be. They talk about the movie so then people can go and watch the movie before the episode.
Okay.
And then they answer viewer questions and do like feedback. So it's like 10 to 20 minute podcast.
Yeah, but it's structured for that interaction.
Right. It's exactly. It's the kind of thing that maybe on, if you know you have one coming up on Monday, maybe you do a shorter one on Friday.
Or you just reach out to your followers and just say, hey, we're going to have Zach on. We're going to be talking about podcasts. What do you want to know? I mean, something as simple as that.
I mean, if you had any kind of listener questions, I think people are going to, I have a podcast I want to listen to because I submitted a question and I want to know if my question got answered. So I haven't listened to it yet. But
I have a few podcasts I listen to, and they one of the things they have is they have reoccurring guests, almost like, you know, not every 6 months or a year, but like, I don't know, every 2 months they'll have somebody come back. And there's like two or three people that are like this. They're just kind of, I don't know if they're in a pinch or crowd favorites, but they have these other reoccurring personalities where it's almost like you're rewarded if you're a regular listener, because it's not just the two podcast guests or the two podcast hosts that you're getting to know. There's a couple other personalities that, like, you know, are constantly checking in. They like work for a magazine or they're an independent publisher over here, and they're just constantly coming.
A lot of times that is over the phone too. They'll call them up for a movie review or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you guys have the capability to do remote?
Probably.
We don't have to yet, though. There's so many people we know in the DC area. We could do remote, but I think it's been fun to actually invite people to the office.
So getting back to sound quality, what do you think about the quality of our voices?
Oh, I like your voices.
Did you have trouble understanding what I am saying?
No, I think you guys both, I can understand what you both say. You sound different enough that I can tell who's who, and I haven't had any problem with any of the guests sounding.
See, I listen to the podcast, and I can't even tell what I'm saying. So,
no, I think you sound
right. When I edit the podcast, my voice is consistently about 6 decibels lower than everybody else's.
Lower in pitch or volume?
It's like a humble brag?
Because I mumble and I don't have a strong voice that carries, and so I'm always worried that people can't understand what I'm saying. Like I make a lot of comments when people are laughing and you can't hear me. Mm. I just feel like I'm talking with rocks in my mouth. But it's not distracting. You don't think like, God, I can't fucking listen.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it might, again, it's like I know you, and so that might have some level of bias to it. But I don't.
You've been listening to my voice for years. You've become acclimated.
I mean, you have kind of like an NPR voice.
Oh my goodness!
Like yeah. you have like that subtlety that NPR voices have.
Like Terry Gross.
Yeah. We gotta start recording in the morning. This is gonna be a whole different podcast. The forecast at dark. Those will be our evening shows.
So what about the roles of Brian and I? Like, do you sense any structure or any kind of hierarchy? Is not the word, but like is Brian always the one who comes in with the anecdote, or am I always the one who asks a stupid question, or do you feel like we're developing distinct personalities that you're following, or is it just sort of a bunch of noise?
No, I think you know, if I had to place you guys in boxes, I would say you're kind of the play-by-play guy, and Brian's kind of the color commentator. But you always bring the discussion back to a question or to a topic, whereas Brian, like as the color commentator, will kind of go off on tangents a little bit more.
Yeah, you got to corral me in. I live
right
on the tangent.
that's not limited to this podcast.
I mean, Brian, you clearly have a lot to say, and you have a lot, like you have a lot of knowledge and opinions.
Give me some constructive feedback, though. What could I do better?
I mean, I just
as a color commentator.
What are his challenges?
The idea is that you're not the guest; you're the host.
Yep.
And sometimes that's hard to remember, but people tuned in. They tune in for you guys every week. But they tuned in to hear this one guest, and I think the guests talk a fair amount, but
yeah,
just keeping that in mind, I think, is important.
It's tough because it's actually been a very exciting to have these conversations. I mean, that's why conferences are complete shit shows. Like these nonprofit conferences, these people get together, they get drunk, and then they start talking about all this stuff and all the, you know, positives and negatives, and generally you're not getting to have these types of conversations in your day to day. You're having some, you know, formal demeanor put in front of you and your client or your colleagues. And here we're kind of breaking it down, like trying to give the inside scoop. And I think you're right. I've just been like right now, I'm kind of swept up in the idea of like actually having like real meaningful conversations and getting to, it almost plays on my general curiosity, like getting to get other people involved in that and really explore the kind of depths of questions you would love to ask, but maybe you just haven't had the opportunity to.
Yeah. And I think getting to, you know, the two key content things, I think, are the low-hanging fruit, the tools, the tips, the things that I can take away and actually implement in my work or could tell somebody about that would be interested in it. And then the story of, you know, being told no by your clients, having to work 20 hours when you first started the 6-hour interview at Charity Engine. Like that's the kind of stuff that kind of sticks with you. And that when I talk to somebody about Charity Engine, you know, if it ever came up, I'd be like, oh, I heard them on this podcast once. You know, the guy had to do a 6-hour interview,
So their engineers are really great.
Yeah.
So what else you got on the list there for us?
Oh, let's see. I gotta look. What else? I mean, what are you guys finding is like challenging?
Well, I think we've covered it from my perspective, which is really all the work you have to do after the podcast is recorded.
Scheduling guests.
Yeah.
It's actually been great to use this free service called Assistant.2.
Oh, yeah, I have that.
Phenomenal. Lets you just throw some times in a calendar and it'll schedule them or reschedule them if that time gets filled between now and when they click it. I think consistently trying to get a person in here once a week is, you know, it's like people got so much going on. I'm trying to juggle it, and you know,
I gotta say too, like, we haven't been real ambitious. You know, like, if we had a booker who was like bugging the shit out of people, we could say, like, you know, it'd be fucking awesome. Podcast is like the guy who gave the plenary address at that last conference we went to. No one we would ever know, but if we really put our minds to it and bug the crap out of
Speaking of which, we should look at the DrupalCon and see if there's any all stars we should make a conscious effort
Mr.
to go after.
Dries.
I mean,
we gotta go over Angie
yeah,
Byron.
That's exactly the point. Like, I wouldn't have the confidence to walk up to Dries and be like, be on my little podcast, and you know, maybe
they would
say
love
yes.
to. They're literally spokespeople for the platform. They would love to.
They probably would, marketing. But I feel like, geez, I'm just going to call friends and friends of friends.
Yeah, but that list is going to run out, and you can do repeat guests. And I think what Brian said about having repeat guests, you are rewarded because you kind of already know this person, so you get to learn a little bit more. You get people to go back to the podcast. But you know, what's the harm in shooting a couple tweets out to people saying, "Hey, we're doing a podcast. We'd love to have you come on and talk about XYZ."
Yeah, nothing. It's like you're asking for something from somebody and you're just feeling a little shy.
Yeah, but you're giving them free publicity.
Is this like going on a date or worried or are you going to shut down?
Yeah.
I've been
out of the game for so long. I don't have any no job left.
This is like, hey, let's take you at a date and let you have a free hour platform that you can pitch, you know. I mean, use the Charity Engine example like, I'd never heard of Charity Engine until, or Petworth News. That was, you know, I'd never heard about Petworth News, and that was had some really great stories. And
I think we could have at least three sponsors per show. We got to up ours.
Yeah, we need Stamps.com and Audible.
Yeah. Does Stamps.com, do they sponsor every podcast?
There's some that sponsor every podcast. Bombas Socks. I own, like, 15 pairs of Bombas socks. They're actually pretty. You should get them as a sponsor.
Actually, I know. Never heard of Bombas. I know who we're gonna approach. DC Scratch.
What's that?
So you've heard of Blue Apron.
Yeah.
They do a lot of
You love DC
sponsors.
Scratch. You were telling me all about them. I couldn't remember the name.
50 times better than Blue Apron.
Just send them this part of the segment. That's all
they
need.
I will do that.
Yeah.
We can do like Stephen Colbert. We could pitch services and, you know, they get one freebie, and then we...
Can you put DC Scratch in the show notes?
Yeah, DC Scratch. Sponsor us.
You know, it would be pretty cool.
Tens of people.
You get some people from the fire station across the street and have a podcast with them.
Oh, my God.
That would be hilarious.
It just, you know, like, you and can we, go off topic every once in a while.
We give them a shout-out on every show where their sirens are in the background.
You would get some story. You would get some crazy stories, probably.
We're gonna put that on the list.
that's our clutch podcast. We go over there with some.
Yeah, we go talk to the drunk homeless people in the alley behind here.
It's great.
Yeah, I think. I mean, and the other great thing about the podcast too is, unlike a lot of podcasts, yours are pretty evergreen. You can listen to, I think, every one of them so far. You can listen to it in 3 months, and it's still relevant.
That's true.
So,
tell us about some bad things or some lessons learned or challenges that we should be standing up to.
Some challenges that you should be standing up to. You know, I think the hardest thing is always balancing speaking roles and not interrupting each other. I mean, I've interrupted you guys a bunch of times, so it's tough to get that flow. I think you guys have the flow between each other. But with the guests, sometimes it can be hard.
Have we? I don't think we've had any guests who, after, I mean, there have been a couple that have started out uncomfortable, but once we get like 20 minutes in, people are usually really relaxed.
Man, there was one show that was a little awkward.
Oh, yeah. Well, but I wouldn't say it was because anybody was uncomfortable. It was just
the
personality.
I could talk to a wall for an hour if I knew some people were going to listen to it and get joy out of it. So
maybe you should do like a monologue at the beginning.
Brian's corner. No, I don't think any of them have actually been that awkward. But there was one guest that really just like almost like a monotone voice. Like it was like a monotone personality. There was no opening up to the conversation. Like I didn't feel like we kind of, I don't know, got everything out of that person. And I like, there's, but a lot of our guests, I feel like we, like they kind of like come away with like, wow, that was a lot of fun. Like, I want to do that. We got that from a lot of our guests. Like, I want to do that again. I can't. Like, you got to have me back. Like, yeah. I want to talk more.
Podcasts are so hot right now. Like, everybody wants to be on a podcast.
Is that the title of our show? We're also trying to come up with titles that podcast is so
I
got to
say, I am a little embarrassed when I tell people I do a podcast because I just feel like I'm sort of like, oh, you too? You're doing a podcast?
Yeah. Okay. I use it as a talking point all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the, you know, oh, you're the podcast guy. Cool. Like, I mean, how many other podcasters?
It's almost derogatory at this point. You're a podcaster?
Dirty.
Everyone always said, "Send me more info."
So, what would it take to get us up to a B?
You know, I think some of the audio stuff. I mean, I especially bring that up because I know the audio.
No, but you know, I'm gonna challenge you on that. I don't think you're being completely forthright with us. I think. You know, audio, fine. There's some background noise. But that's really what's going to take you there is like, holy shit, that was fascinating.
I had trouble hearing a few of our guests at certain points. That would be my critique.
Sometimes I, because we're, so the dual hosting thing is interesting because if like all, I won't have anything to say or I'll be like looking at the computer, looking something up and he'll notice that or the guest won't have anything to say. And there's a teamwork that happens, which is very convenient. But same time, it's like hard to really drill down into like that story that you want because, you know, he's coming from one perspective and I'm coming from another. And like I'll pull it this way or he'll pull it that way. I think the one thing we do miss is kind of that like really like tearing down into something that, you know, could be fascinating.
I mean, we keep talking about this. Should we continue to refine that process, or does it make sense to split it and have like we record it one time, but where we talk about your personal story and that's 30 minutes and then the
like literally a structure like now we
yeah but I mean actually we publish two separate shows,
like the personal show and the technical show.
So you would listen to the technical and then if you're interested.
I mean, I personally don't like that.
I don't like that. I think it's got to be both. Like,
so we just got to get better at figuring out that flow.
I think the important thing is you have to – the two challenges is, one, you have so much information. You have to figure out how to organize it. So if somebody says a tip that's really helpful or they say a tool or a strategy that's really, really good, how do you make sure that that doesn't get – I mean, you miss things on podcasts. Somebody comes and says something to you while you're listening to it. So how do you capture that and make sure you reiterate it? And then the other is, how do you get those passionate stories and share those really cool, fascinating stories and get the guests thinking about that before they're in here too? There definitely have been some, but there's also been times where it's just kind of been a conversation. And it's like, oh, I don't have to listen as hard right now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a lot on – that can be figured out with better prep. Like, you've been trying to do like preparatory calls for – some of our guests and kind of getting a little bit of that rapport and idea of what we're going to talk about. And I think if we kind of get that down, we might be able to own that process a little bit more.
Yeah.
Where now it's been a little free form.
And figuring out some general, maybe it's not the exact question that's the same every time, but a general, what are some areas you want to discuss? Is it challenges that you face in your work or, you know, how do you make things a little bit easier? What are some takeaways that, you know, somebody who knows nothing about your service or product, what are some takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, you could think of it like a three-act play, right? You could, like, set up the conflict in the beginning. And
I love this. What is our three-act? Yeah.
Figure out how the hero overcomes the challenge. And diving in, a couple times I've done this literally, but most of the time it's just sort of occurred, which is, dipping into the backstory from how did you, like, you know, you're not making a lot of money at XY nonprofit. So, you know, how did you get interested in this? Or why are you in this job you're at? And then that kind of, you know, there have been a couple good answers to that question. And I usually reserve it for the end, like the last. Usually I see like we're at about 40, 45 minutes. That's when I'll like try to pull it back in and then start, you know, probing like, so why are you doing this? Why do you care?
Yeah, I think I'm trying to think of...
But do you do that up front? Because I feel like you want to get to know somebody. Like, you could start the conversation and say, so where'd you go to school and how'd you get into this whole thing anyway?
I mean, maybe some of the background questions you can start with, especially if it's a first-time guest, and then get into the... Maybe it's instead of being a three-act play, it's a sandwich, where you have kind of the bread, then you have the meat, and then you have the bread again.
The classic podcast
the forecast
sandwich.
Forecast hoagie.
Yeah.
Forecast. Oh, no.
Now, give me the meat.
No.
What are the tips?
I wasn't going to say it, yeah.
I didn't. There was nothing.
I tune in for just the tips.
You know, and really, I don't know how much when you're prepping, just asking them, like, what do you want to talk about? What is something that is interesting to you? And without them revealing it too much, but
people are usually a little bit shy to get into that. Like, once we start talking, there's an obvious answer to that question, but people are generally like, oh, whatever you want to talk about.
Well, maybe then it's a question for you guys that you keep in the back of your mind. What does this person, why did this person agree to come on this podcast?
People don't really want to also talk about this via email. I think that's the importance of the prep call. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not a priority to them. They have a full-time job. They have their life. Like, I don't want to get into like a 30, you know, email long thread going back and forth, back and forth. Maybe, I mean, some of them might, but I think probably like a good 30-minute phone call trying to like outline some of this or explore it with them is more valuable than, you know, I think email is just to book them, like this time, this date, and, you know, here's our process. We're going to do a 30-minute preparatory call, and we'll send you kind of maybe the idea.
Yeah, having like maybe you just have like a PDF or two that,
yeah,
you know, when you book it, it's like, you know, read this.
About
the
show.
It's going to say it's going to be an hour-long show. You know, we can provide beer if you want it.
I like that. Ask them if they want beer.
Yeah, maybe it's like, yeah, like ask them what they want, and maybe... maybe you start doing podcasts in the morning. Maybe if people don't want beer, they do want coffee. You invite them over for coffee in the morning.
Bagels. They have phenomenal croissants across the street.
Yeah.
I'll talk about
shitty bagels, though.
We need, really? Yeah, no, no.
Well, there's not that many good
you
bagels.
You got the bottle
music.
Opener?
Actually, there is a little boutique place down on 14th Street that sells Bullfrog bagels. I think they get like 12 bagels in a day. And they're
Bullfrog bagels is on H Street.
Is it?
Yeah.
They're delicious.
It's, Star and Shamrock opened a bagel place.
They're great.
And they're opening one in Eastern Market, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I live nowhere near there. That does not help.
That's where I live.
So, Zach, how did you get into podcasts anyway?
Are we at the 45-minute mark?
We're at the 65-minute mark, actually.
Are we really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We were recording.
I think that actually takes me to another point, is don't let the clock be your manager. Like, if you go an hour and a half... or if you go 40 minutes, like that's the great thing about podcasts is you can go either way.
Well, you're on borrowed time, so you got to be interesting or else we're shutting this down.
Yeah. Well, okay. Then,
I'm just kidding.
You know, but I think like, you know, there's nothing wrong with a 40-minute podcast, and it's tough because people get on and they start talking and it's hard to be like,
yeah.
Okay,
no,
I think
you know what? An hour
up.
Actually seems about right. I don't know why, but an hour, every podcast we've had has been within 5 minutes, basically,
yeah.
One side or the other of an hour. And it seems like about enough time to get a good conversation and not repeat yourself.
And there have definitely been a couple where I said, okay, good, I can't wait till you have that guest back. You know, I want to hear more on that topic. So I think, you know, people have a reason for coming on the podcast, whether it's to be nice and just say, yeah, sure, why not, or to pitch a product or their consulting.
What topics would you want to hear going forward? Are there what things do you want to learn about, or people you want to listen to?
Yeah, I like all things kind of digital, the technical stuff. You know, I'm a geek for tools
and not
and
necessarily digital in terms of your work, but digital like hey gadgets and toys and
yeah. I mean, I think like cool services that either I could use personally or professionally. You know, I think. I always, whenever I go to conferences, I like to go to the stuff that's the real technical, the technical sessions, and that's just for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think the podcast about how to run a campaign, I'm assuming that was a political campaign, not an advocacy campaign.
It was an advocacy campaign.
So that would apply to me professionally, and that would be pretty cool to listen to that one. I think, you know, once you can get some engagement with the audience, I think that's another area where there's. That's the hardest part of the podcast. That's definitely an area for improvement is how can you promote and engage with the podcast? I mean, I've seen the promotion and the email signature. I've shared with my friends. I think you guys have tweeted about it a little bit, but I feel like I haven't really seen much.
No, we haven't been very prolific.
We got to get a big part of it is just getting that webpage up. It's, you know, if you land on that page right now, the design we're doing for it is phenomenal, right? It's going to have the iTunes link and the RSS feed and all that. But right now, if we send it out, it's a little bit confusing. Maybe you'll tune into one episode, but it's not clear how to subscribe to the podcast.
Right.
So once we do that, though, and we're able to start promoting this portal, essentially access to the podcast, it becomes such an easier proposition to just start plastering that link and putting, you know, together promotional packets, materials, you know, here, just take this and you can use that to promote on your social network and use in any announcements you want to make.
I think one thing that Rob as a podcast does really well is he does short links, but he does not short links. He does redirects. So he'll do, you know, robsawebsite.com/subscribe, and that directs you to the iTunes subscribe page. Or robsawebsite.com/Amazon takes you to his sponsored Amazon page where it's his referral link. And anytime he has a guest on, you know, maybe a guest brings something up and he says, all right, I'll make that a link, robsawebsite.com/whatever they're talking about. And that's then it directs you to the article. So it just makes it really easy when you're listening to not have to remember to find that. You can just like, okay, that's how I subscribe. That's how I, you know, slash feedback. That's how I send comments. So, and it's, you know, I know it's like super easy to do that. And
it's also a huge SEO. That's a great idea.
And that was a tip that I've taken to use professionally, you know, where I'll take our websites and slash Facebook will take you to our Facebook page. Now it's basically the same link.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it makes it very easy to share, or, you know, if we have a sign up page, just making it slash apply.
You're getting page views, but it might hurt other metrics.
I don't care at all about page views. I care about engagement. Yeah. And if I can, you know, forget about page views.
So that's just a user experience thing.
Yeah. Like if you're trying to find our Facebook page because you want to follow us or make a comment, like I don't care how that affects our Google Analytics. At the end of the day, I'm more interested in more qualitative metrics in terms of how we're engaging, right? If we say we measure engagement with the podcast by number of listeners, number of downloads, subscribers, and comments/feedback we read, that's much better than, you know, number of people that opened up the page or number of minutes that have been listened, if we're able to track that, which you're not really able to do that.
So if you want somebody to subscribe to the podcast, or maybe it's foresight.tv, that's the website, right?
It's the foresightstudios.com.
foresightstudios.com/iTunes takes you to the iTunes subscribe page. Because you're never going to use, what else are you going to use slash iTunes? I mean, you might as well use it for that. Or slash podcast. I'm assuming you probably already have that.
That is the listing.
Yeah. Or maybe slash comments takes you to where you can leave podcast comments. It just, you know, thinking through like what can you make, and then people can learn that, okay, it's really easy to get to these different pages.
That's a great idea. So, do you think it's a good idea to do a podcast? Are there too many podcasts? Is it just a bunch of fucking noise?
Oh, there are a ton of – I don't know if I say too many, but there are so many podcasts. And every time I talk to people, everybody has different podcasts that they – nobody listens to the same ones. But you are able to target such a narrow audience. I think there are definitely people more than just me who have the same interests, who would want to listen to the different topics you guys have talked on.
You think there's an audience out there for us? We just have to go find them.
Yeah. And I haven't, you know, you said that your audience is the people on the Progressive Exchange listserv. I haven't seen the podcast sent to the Progressive Exchange listserv.
I think Brian did it once.
No, I'm waiting. I don't want to publish this until I have something that looks great.
Yeah, right. So maybe I'm judging on an incomplete product, but...
And we were also, I think the first six we had consciously decided not to really promote. So it's not like we're going past that very much, but the first six, we wanted to get six under our belt before we really put it out there. And I had posted it on Twitter and Facebook, some of the early ones. But again, you're clicking that link and you're coming to a page that doesn't look really well formatted. Mm-hmm. Rather just hold off because it is evergreen content. It's not going to go bad.
Right.
We can publish these at any time.
And I think now you have them, and I think and I'm not just saying this because I was on one of the early podcasts, but you know, don't let that content just float away. Like, figure out ways to republish that. Maybe, you know, is it a Throwback Thursday post, you know, once you get deep into the podcast, saying Throwback Thursday to our first show, or to, you know, when we had Rache on to talk about user engagement, or Petworth News, or
yeah, because it's topical, you can have like a related link, you know, here's the blog post about email campaigns and here's the podcast
we did. Exactly. I think it would be cool to do some that aren't, maybe you do all of them evergreen, but you know, especially with like election coming up, and some, you know, if there's something timely in the news and you can get a guess that is relevant to what's going on, you know, that you might get some really good traffic because you're talking about, you know, somebody who works with Cuba today or something like that.
And we have clients that are working on, you know, programs and projects that are very timely, and would, just because of the quick turnaround time we have from recording to publishing, whether it's a conference or, you know, an upcoming action, like, it'd be a lot of fun to get those people on and talk about their campaign strategy, what they're doing, you know, get the help, also get the word out there, but also get the insight as it's happening in real time.
Yeah. And I mean, if there's a campaign going on, you know, if there's a, you know, if you're running an advocacy campaign on something, you know, net neutrality, and you know, what a great way to drive engaged action takers. If they're going to listen to an hour long podcast about your campaign, and then throughout the podcast, you say foresightstudios.com/net neutrality, and it takes you to their campaign landing page.
So what podcast episode should we revisit if we're going to have an existential crisis? Like, is that episode 50? We questioned the, I feel like probably every, I feel like every podcaster probably does this at some point. They question whether this is what they should be doing.
Well, Zach, tell us why you're doing this. Can you give us an example of a nonprofit that's been inspirational to you that really, so when you're feeling blue and wondering if it's all worth it,
I mean,
look to these guys for inspiration.
I love volunteer engagement. When I graduated college, I don't remember if I talked about this on the last podcast, but when I graduated college, I served 2 terms with AmeriCorps, National Civilian Community Corps, and it's a team-based program where you're out on a team with like 10 people, and you go to different community service projects for about 2 months at a time. And they work in environment and public safety, education, and the big area where they help is disaster relief.
What sort of dirty jobs were you doing?
My first project with them was building houses in New Orleans, helping after Katrina. It was like a couple years after Katrina. And I had never done any like construction work in my life. And we worked with an organization called St. Bernard Project. And they're sort of like
St. Bernard Parish.
Yes. Yeah, they focus exclusively in St. Bernard Parish, and they're sort of like Habitat for Humanity, where they build houses, volunteer led houses. And within 2 weeks they were like, okay, you're leading a team of volunteers that are coming down here for spring break. And we're doing drywall and, mudding and sanding and siding. And that was a really, really cool project. And then the next round, so you had 4 rounds throughout the year. Our second round was my favorite nonprofit ever, which is the Camden Children's Garden.
And Camden, New Jersey?
Yeah. It's in Camden, New Jersey, which has a really, really bad reputation.
I was going to say it. Yeah.
I think it's usually like top three.
Decrepit industrial town. Campbell's Soup used to be there.
I think they still are. I know they had some grants through Campbell's Soup. And they had this gorgeous space. They still have it, and it's a children's garden. And so we were just doing repairs, renovation, painting, all kinds of work around the garden. And if anybody is in the Philadelphia area, I know Camden, New Jersey is really, it's a really rough area. It's really unsafe, but the children's garden is worth going and visiting. It's just, there's a lot of really, really neat artwork, and it's fun for kids or adults. And the people who run it are great. So that is my favorite nonprofit. Worked with them for 2 months.
So what did you do there?
A lot of repair work. We painted murals. We repainted murals.
So most of the work you did during these 2 years was physical labor?
Yeah. Then the third part, we were back in Lake Charles, Louisiana. I was not a huge fan of Lake Charles. Doing more repair work on houses and construction.
Is this where the Duck Dynasty folks live or something?
It could be. I wouldn't be surprised. And then the fourth... Well, then we had some disaster relief in Galveston, Texas, and McAllen, Texas. One was right after a hurricane, so we were doing like direct hurricane relief. And then another one was a couple weeks after we were working in a warehouse, getting supplies out to people. And the last project was doing trail building in Tallahassee, Florida. So, like, a real wide range of stuff over 10 months. Life-changing experience. It was great. If anybody is just graduating high school or college and wants to do something like that, I would highly recommend looking into AmeriCorps and serving a year. It was life-changing and really cool. So.
And you stuck with the do-gooderism.
Yeah, I did. It got me. It got me on the
job. Since then, been in nonprofits.
Yeah. When I moved to DC, I had a temp job for a couple months doing customer service, which was really really poorly run program. It was a tough couple months, but I got that job. It was a temp job, and I got it right like within 3 days of moving to DC, and then got hired by my current company, which was called Green Media Toolshed at the time. And has since rebranded to be NetCentric Campaigns, and I've been there. I just had my 5-year anniversary there. So,
wow.
Congratulations.
5 years in DC, I feel like, is a really long time at one job.
Yeah.
I know people who have left and moved back to town in that same
amount. Oh, yeah. I've had definitely had friends that have moved since then.
I feel like unless you work with labor, like it's like 3 years. One to three years seems to be the DC average.
Especially like early on, too. But
yeah.
I mean, it's been a great place to work. I'm very happy, so.
We love NetCentric.
Yeah, and that's how I know Hemming and Brian was working with Foresight.
No, we actually knew each other through, I believe, Salsa.
That's how I currently know you is through Foresight. Yes, I knew you when you were Salsa. We go
slightly way back.
Yes. I was in a Salsa training at a conference with you, and I told you how to do something easier than you would actually. You said to do it one way, and I go, you could actually do it this way. It'd be better.
Probably. There are a thousand ways to do something in Salsa.
We're going
to
end the show with a toast, and I have a toast pre-prepped for you there.
Oh, wow.
Look at that.
Oh, man.
Isn't that perfect?
So that's the toast?
I don't know. You can toast whatever you want, or you can read off the NetCentric mouse pad. Either one.
I'm gonna do my own. To 10 plus years of podcasting more. And I was going to say 10 more episodes, that was like... I hope you guys do tens and tens and tens and tens.
10 to the power of 10 podcasts. Yeah,
more podcasts. And continue to build an audience and tell great stories and help people do their jobs better.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers to that. Thanks for coming back, Zach.
Yeah, thanks for having me.